back in 1940, just in comparison of 1940 to 1990. That's like a, what, a 50-year span? Okay, this is off of a website of, I think, wall builders. David Barton, I think, is part of that or the founder of that. He does a lot of things for prayer for the government and prayer in our schools and how this nation was founded upon prayer and Christian values, at least, and things. But this is going to see how removing prayer out of our schools affected things. The government records, or the government records show the top seven leading problems in our schools ranked in the order from first to seventh. So there's seven issues that we had in our schools in 1940, and there's seven issues that we've got in our schools in 1990. And note the differences of these. So, in 1940, what do you think the we'll do like the top seven, okay? The seventh problem in 1940 in our schools would have been what? Close, but can you believe in 1940 was littering? That was the seventh problem, main thing taking effect in our schools in 1940 was littering. Now we go 50 years down the road and we go to, oh, now it's 1990. This is the seventh, so it gets worse than this. The seventh thing that's an issue in our schools of today is assault. Littering to assault. The sixth violation in 1940, dress code violations. Wow. The sixth situation now in 1990 when this was taken, robbery. The fifth problem in 1940, oh boy, these kids, cutting in line. They're probably cutting in line to get to the cafeteria, all that good food, you know, like, I want to eat, you know, cutting in line to play ball, all these things. Cutting in line was the fifth problem in 1940. This is sad. In 1990, 50 years later, the fifth problem that our schools deal with and is concerning is rape. Wow. 1940, oh boy, kids, running in the hallways. Little Johnny, slow down. This is sad. 1990, leading thing in the schools deal with now, suicide. Just, it's unshakable. It is, it's shakeable, unshakeable. It's shakeable out there, the number of young people that commit suicide for one reason or another. A lot of things going on, you know, and all the ins and outs of that. But wow, from 1940, running in the halls was a problem. Now that number four ranking is suicide is the problem. Making noise was number three. What year was that in? 1990, pregnancy. Chewing gum, 1940, number two. Alcohol abuse, number two in 1990. 1940, Dan, I think you said earlier, talking, number one problem in 1940, talking out of turn. Raise your hands. Ah, talking out of turn. And the number one problem in 1990 was drug abuse. I wonder where we're at even now from that list to 1990 to 2010. Where are we at in 2014? Probably some of these things, even in 1990, are probably ratcheted up a little bit, and there's probably something even more concerning out there. After removing, the effect of removing school prayer. So that's 50 years. So that's 1990, you know, 2000, 2010, 2020, you know, that's like 30 years out and all. I don't know where this will be in another 50 years, do you? Concerning, for one thing, and it's going to get worse. That's the problem. It's going to get worse. Unless we step up. Unless we, as the Christian, as we are here in this nation for a purpose and a reason, aren't you blessed to have been born or come to America and to be a citizen of America. And I trust for us that are here today, we're Christian in America. Now we've known, we've heard people say that there's a lot of people out there that call themselves Christians just because they live in America. But they're not really Christian. They're kind of, they don't understand that. They just think we're Christian. And so we've got to, I believe, take a stand. We've got to, as a church, we've got to, as organizations around this nation, praise God, where it's Pray 31, or if it's the National Day of Prayer, or it's Pray Presidential Prayer Team that's out there that lists things and sends out weekly emails for people to pray about our government and the situations and leaders in our government, states, whatever's taking place in our nation that week or that past week comes out within their emailing as far as be in prayer about this. We have the greatest of things because Dan alluded to it. We got wonderful technology, amen. We can, these organizations now can send this stuff out quick. You can probably sign up to some of them. They'll send you a text, you know, emails. If there's something urgent that comes in the nation, they can send out quickly. Pray. You got the groups in Wisconsin. That escapes my mind now here as far as the people that keep us on track of what's going on in our laws and things and things that are being done in our states. And so we've got the ability to know what's happening when it happens. And if we get this information and it comes into our churches and our churches and we look at it and go, oh, that's good, and put it off to the side, what did it accomplish? It accomplished it exactly what the devil wanted it to accomplish. Nothing. Allows him to have free reign over what's going on out there. Well, it's about time we take it back. It's about time we take that stand and say, enough is enough. I've failed. Maybe you failed as well in prayer, of consistent prayer, of effective prayer, of being committed to prayer. And I'm not calling for a 24/7 prayer thing. I'm not calling for us to have all these things and a group and a program and all this. I want to get down to the thing of just making sure that us as a congregation, you as part of this church, daily pray, not for you to have a good day, not for, you know, wealth to fall upon you, but to pray for your nation, to pray for your schools, to pray for the churches, to pray for leadership, amen. And then you can pray for yourself too. But look at the other realm of things out there that really change and direct the course of history. My direction and things that I pray for me, and it's not to make us and me any less important, but I tell you, I can pray about what, oh Lord, help Tim, oh Lord, do this for Tim, oh Lord, do this for me. That's all well and good. But what he does for me is not necessarily, when he's tied up doing that, is not going to be such a major thing that could be done for this country. So Tim's got to take the attention off of Tim, and it says in his word, if you want to live a peaceful life, a good life, pray for your nation, pray for the government, pray for those that are in authority over you, and then you will lead a peaceful life. I like that. Right now, I don't know if we really have a peaceful life. It's better than a lot of places in the world, right? So we can kind of think, well, thank God for that. It's a little bit better, or a lot better than some other places, for sure. But it's just a matter of time by when we look at statistics, when we look at what people and organizations are saying from 50 years back to now, and what's, you know, how things are changing and evolving, and how society and lawlessness is out there. People in this country now, they look for reasons to riot. They look for a reason to just come together to create havoc. They look for a purpose to go out and loot stores, to break windows, to steal, to do whatever. And they may even be far from the situation of why that situation developed. But they looked at it on the news, and they go, hey, good place to go. We can create some havoc there. We can create some disorder. We can create some lawlessness and do what we want. Well, you know, you're probably thinking, well, you're probably, Ferguson, Missouri is a well example of that within the last couple of months because of that situation that was down there. Most of those people that were arrested down there causing problems, come to find out they weren't even from what? Ferguson. They were maybe from around Missouri. Now, they could have said, well, we're from St. Louis. But there's many of them that were from outside the state of Missouri. You know, probably from Chicago, New York, Kansas City, L.A., wherever. Because it's on their little information feed that they've got. It's like, oh, there's something going on in this part of the country. We're just going to go there and be a part of it, but we're going to be able to take advantage of that and do what we want, be lawless. We had that several years back at the Madison. My gosh, I was sorry to be from Wisconsin for a while there because these crazy people up in Madison taking over the Capitol. Foolishness. But come to find out, a lot of those people were here again from outside the area because there's lawlessness in our nation. People, the values, the morality in this nation has slid down a pretty good steep hill. And it's still a hill that's got to be, there's still places on the hill to slide, guys. Where morality and all is currently in our nation, we're maybe only halfway down or maybe just a third of the way down this lawlessness hill. Because it'll get worse and darker as time goes. But there could be those of us that come and stand in that gap. There could be the church that rises up and says, enough is enough, and I'm not going to just, you know, bless my food, thank you for this meal, bless this, bless that. I'm going to take a stand and say, Lord, I bind in the spirit the area of lawlessness on this land or upon my city or upon my state, and I bind it and I cast it out, Lord, in the name of who? Jesus. And you get serious about these things to where you say, enough is enough. And I tell you what, guys, all it takes is a corporate unified effort of Christian churches, Christian people across this nation that just continues to shout to the heavens, and the Lord will react and he will begin to move things and change things and redo things, and he will remove problems, amen. The Lord will remove problems. Only, I think, when he knows that his people are after him and searching for him and serving him, keeping him first, honoring him in their lives, honoring him on a Sabbath day, you know? All these things that God is wanting and God is requesting and God is requiring, a lot of us don't fulfill every day or even throughout the years, myself included. And so as prayer 31 and praying, and I was at a meeting this past Wednesday, and I was sharing with our Wednesday night crew there about some things that were shared about a pastor in a church down in Illinois, Rochelle, about how he felt impressed by the Lord, and I'm not saying that we're going to do this, but I'm just showing how when the Lord impresses upon things and people, whether it's a pastor or whether it's just you sitting out there, when the Lord impresses something upon you and you obey that, he will just open up the floodgates of heaven and do his thing. But anyway, so this church, this pastor gets this urging, this unction to do this, and they begin to want to have a fast, and they want to have a 21-day fast and 21 days of prayer for their region and where they're at down there. And so they go through the whole gamut of these things and sending out letters to corporations, schools, businesses, municipal buildings, government offices, saying, we don't want your money, we just want to know what we can pray about. Send us your prayer request if you want us to pray. We're going to be praying for 21 days and taking a fast. So they got a lot of things. They even replicated the Wailing Wall over in Jerusalem. They put it in their sanctuary, a wall 20 feet high and maybe 12 or 20 feet long or something like that. And all these rare requests were put on this wall. That church was open 24 hours a day for 21 days. You can come in and pray at any time of the day, early morning, whatever time. All this is being done and all this is being fulfilled, and God opened up just a wonderful blessing in that particular area over there. Powerful things to really get into today, but powerful things because God answered what the people were praying, because people were praying and he took that direction, that church, that organization, that group, whatever it was, listened to God and said, this is what I feel God is wanting us to do. So there's powerful prayer, or there's powerful results in prayer. Amen? Powerful results when you pray. And you pray the way what God wants you to do. Not to pray to move God, to turn God to what you want him to do. Don't pray to twist God's arm. You pray to elevate him up in that situation and allow him to have his will in that situation. And then you back up and say, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let it come, Lord. So you kind of know where I'm going with this, because I say a topic that's going to scare some of the people off. They will run from it because they feel inadequate in doing it. We can list several reasons why people will do this. They'll think that, well, we don't have time. We don't think it's important. We don't believe that it'll make any difference. When I do this, my words just don't seem right. They just don't seem eloquent. They just don't rhyme. They just don't feel like what I've heard in the past, other people that seem to be a lot more deeper into the things of God than me. We even think that it's for the next person. Probably some of you out there might be thinking, well, it ain't for me. It's probably for them down there on the other end of the row. It's for on the other side of the aisle. It's not for me. And, of course, what I'm talking about is prayer. Sometimes if you want to clear out a church and groups of people, just say, okay, we're going to call a prayer meeting. Wow, where'd everybody go? It's like a contagious disease. It's like, oh no, I'm not going to get involved in prayer. That's going to be one of those things, you know. And that'll clear out a church sometimes faster than you know. So, and I, you know, as I began to look at this, it's been probably, even before I went to that meeting last Wednesday, it's been about a week and a half, 2 weeks, just really social media stuff. Who's on social media? Generally all of us. Okay, maybe some of us not, I don't know. But a lot of us are. And as I go through these things on stuff, I might go on once a day, once every 2 or 3 days, just to kind of see what's going on. I've got a Facebook account for myself. I don't rarely go on it, even for a family. We've got one for the church. I'll go on the church one more often than the family one, just to kind of see maybe what's going on in the church world, you know, responses and things like that. And there's people lined into it, and I don't understand all of it myself. But when I get on there and I begin to look at stuff, after a while I'm thinking, how do these people have this much time to put stuff on there that has nothing to do with life? It's just, it's brain mush. Really. I don't care what recipe you're using. I don't care to look at your hot dog that you're having at a ballpark. I don't care to look at some craft item that you found on Pinterest or whatever this thing is, or Pincrest or Pinterest or whatever, and put on there and look at this. We have gotten so much into this social media stuff. And as I was searching this and thinking this out, and I'm guilty, guys. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that, oh, Pastor, then you pray all the time. No, I don't. But I look at those things and I'm thinking, Lord, if we could expend a third, a fourth of the energy that people spend on Facebook and put it into prayer, this earth, this country would be shaken. You say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. How do you know that? I don't know about it either. But all of a sudden, as I'm looking at this even last night, now this is a study that was done back in 2010. The Nielsen study reported that in America, Americans spend billion minutes on social networking and blogs. 63.5 billion minutes on social networking. This is in 2010, so I'm sure this has gone up now. How much time do you spend on social networking like Facebook? Well, another Nielsen study indicates that the average internet user spends 68 hours on the internet per month. That's about 2 hours and 6 minutes a day. It says, I rest my case. We do have time to pray. As someone put it recently, one of the greatest uses of Twitter and Facebook will to be to prove that the last day, that prayerlessness was not due from the lack of time. So, we're not going to be able to hit the Lord on the knee or say, well, we just didn't have time, Lord, because the Lord's going to say, hey, you had a lot of time. It's just where your priorities are at. Okay, so now let's go into like a CNBC. We're going to jump into the year of 2012. The United States spent, and this is the CNBC News, 121 billion minutes on social media sites. 121, so we're still in those billions, aren't we? Now, see what happened is, in 2010, the Nielsen said Americans spent 63.5 billion minutes on social media. 2010, 63 billion. 2012, 121 billion. Do you see what I see? It doubled in 2 years. 121 billion minutes on social media sites in July of, this is just 2012 alone. It says here, in media sites in July 2012 alone. According to Nielsen's annual social media, that's 388 minutes or 6.5 hours per person. If every person in the United States used social media altogether, that's 230,060 years that we spend staring into that glaring screen of the so-called sharing. Wow. 388 minutes or 6.5 hours per person, and that's if every person in the U.S. used the media. Altogether, that's 230,060 years that we would spend staring into the glaring screen of so-called sharing. Instead of going outside and playing with our friends, instead of going on your knees and praying to God, going into your prayer closet, going in and serving your community, going in and helping somebody, going to church, attending a church on a regular basis to build up the kingdom of God, amen, to build up a body of believers that can pray and be unified and grow and develop and know what's going on in the things of how God wants us to be. My goodness. According to the consumer measurement company's report titled Social Media Comes of Age, Facebook, indeed, several times over, is the most popular social network in the U.S., with 152.2 million visitors on personal computers. Wow. 78.4 million users via mobile apps. And then it gets into Pinterest or whatever, for example, is one of the breakout stars of social media in 2012, boasting the largest ever year-over-year increase in both audience and time spent on this network. Overall, here in the United States, we spend roughly 20% of our time on personal computers, like tweeting, pinning, Facebooking. When then they got this, has anybody ever heard this word Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R? Must be something else that's out there. Maybe it's already come and gone because it didn't catch on. And 30% of our time on mobile devices. 20% on personal computers, 30% on our mobile devices doing the same thing. So as far as not having time to pray, I say, I hope you can wrap your mind around this and take note of your own personal time on all of the social media that's out there and how much time that you spend on it, how much time that I may spend on it. Is it possible that we could take some of that social media time and swap it out for what? Exactly. Lord, I don't have time to pray. I got to get on Facebook and put my favorite hamburger on there. I got to take pictures of what I just did and here and there. It's sad. There has been some good of Facebook notings and postings and things. But we, I think, have taken it to the extreme to where it's got to be the first thing and the only thing that we all have to do and look at because we're concerned, like, what's going on, I mean, just get on there and look at it. Am I the only one that sees these weird things out there watching and looking at people's feeds on Facebook? I mean, I don't mind seeing pictures of my grandkids and, oh, we had this and we had that and we're going to do this and do that and here's pictures of a wedding or here's a picture of vacation. That's all well and good, but I don't need to see a casserole that you cooked. I don't need somebody to send me a lead to say, I scored 12 points on this personality and it says who I am. You want to try it? No. I don't really want to try that. It's probably made up anyway. It's probably just to make you feel good. You know, I took this quiz and it showed my chronological age of who I really am. How would that be, chronological or the other? I'm younger in my thoughts than I am in my body, or my body is younger than my mind, or all this stuff. You know, we got all these tests and surveys people take out there, and they go, here, you try it too, Tim, and see what you're like. And I go, no, thank you. I'll hide that. I don't want to know it. It's getting to the point, and I've asked people that are wise into this thing. I go, when I start unfriending people, are they going to know right away? Because it's like, that's the only way I know how to get rid of the problem. You're still my friend, but I don't want to be that close of a friend to you. You know, let's just high five and fist bump or whatever when we're seeing each other. I don't need to know your whole life story every day. I mean, I got so messed up when I tried to go on Facebook. I had myself going to high school in a community that I didn't even go to. My family got on there and said, Tim, what are you doing? You never went to school over there. I go, really? Where does it say I'm at? Well, how did that happen? So, anyway, I say that to say this, that we do have time to pray. Social media, used in the right vein, is good. But I think the enemy's really gotten in there, and he's sapping out our time that we could be sharing with God and sharing and praying and things, and now we don't have that time. Sad, guys, sad. So when we communicate with God, this is what we call prayer. I just want you to talk to God. And we call it prayer. Nothing fancy, nothing scary about it. It's just prayer is what we would call it. Since God is personal, all people can offer up prayer, amen? We can just pray to him and talk to him is all we need to do. Say, hey, God, how are you today? Thank you for another beautiful day that I've got. You know, it doesn't need to be to where you got to, you know, do a regimental thing of praying to open up the door to get into him and all that, because Jesus is there. He's interceding for us. He's at the right hand of Father. We don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit's there with us. Prayer cannot be replaced by good works. Sometimes people say, well, I'm doing good things. That'll offset prayer. No, you need to pray. As important as service to others is, at times we need to turn from service to others and turn to God for prayer, or into prayer. Serving is good. Prayer is good. Got to have that balance. You got to have that ability there. Prayer cannot be replaced by good works. Amen. The most meaningful prayer comes from the heart that places its trust in the God who has acted and spoken in the Jesus of history and in the teachings of the Bible. Amen. Go through and even like we did today, Dan having us go around here like 7 times, you know, that was out of a story in the Bible and how prayer was answered and all these things and how God moves in his people when they listen to him and go to him and cry to him and sometimes be still in him. And what he has asked them to do. And it's not to go. And there are some that would kind of debate God. Say, well, are you sure? Is this what you really want, God? Or I don't know about that, God. But just say, okay, God. You've got more time in this than I do. A confident prayer life is built on the cornerstone of Christ. Work and the words as shown by the prophets and the apostles in the Bible. We go through these things. We want to refer back to these. We want to see how God moved mightily in people's lives and how he saved people, how he blessed people, how he protected people, you know? It's in there. Amen. We must know and come to understand that prayer has power over everything. James 5:16. 5:16 in James says, the Bible declares that what? The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. Praise God that it's that way. And it doesn't say, the effective, fervent prayers of the righteous man or woman avails some things. Because if that was the case, then we would go, should I pray about that or not? I don't know. It might be one of the things he's going to be, I don't know. It avails much. Don't you try to decide, should I pray about this and lift it up to God? You just lift it up to God and let his will be done about it. And let him decide how he wants to handle it. That's all we got to do. Sometimes we'll get ourselves talked out of praying. Well, I really need this. I think I'm going to pray. Well, maybe I shouldn't pray about that. I don't know. There's more things. I don't know. Well, Well, I'll go check out Facebook first. You lift it up to God and let him sort it out. Amen. Let him take control of it. Psalms 118. We're hardly going to get through most of this here, but Psalms 118. And I don't have these marks, so I'm going to take as long as it takes you to get there, probably. But that's okay. Sometimes in our technology of age, we can have these things all, I've got this all, I could have this all listed out and printed out and just go rattle it right off, boom, 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 and I'm already into the fifth scripture, and you're still looking for the second one. Like, where's this at? Because I'm that same way. So I just put this here, and I thought, well, okay, Lord, we'll just list these references, and I'll go to it myself. So if we look at the freedom that prayer will give us, Psalms 118, and then I look at 5 and 6, and it says what? Anybody here in distress? I've had distress. Amen. Well, it says in 5, I've called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will not fear. Because the Lord is what? On my side. I will not fear. So that talks about prayer gives us freedom from fear. I mean, we go through times of our lives, anxieties and things that hit us day in and day out. Go to the Lord in prayer. Turn it over to him. If anything else that you should learn in your Christian walk as you get longer in the walk with him is don't try to handle the situation yourself. Whatever the problem is, whatever the disagreement or even a direction or a thing at work or a direction here or there or whatever, I don't know, just go to him quickly and just allow him to take that fear and that distress out of you type thing to where you'll know that he'll give you that peace, he'll give you that freedom of fear, and that you know that, you know, it's going to be okay. We find also for guidance and satisfaction. So guidance and satisfaction. I don't know. How many have you talked to people that needed guidance and satisfaction? Well, Isaiah 58. This is for guidance. Remember, this is these things that what prayer will help us as we look at these things. I know when we talk about wanting people to pray and let's come together and let's get as a group and do these things, powerful things can come out of that. A church in Rochelle, if I had more time, and maybe I'll share a little bit next week more about it, the things that happened from that 21 days of fasting and praying is just still affecting that community and that church and where they're at even 5 or 6 years now. It's been 5 to 8 years that this has happened and taken place. Guidance and satisfaction, Isaiah 58:9. Then you will call, and the Lord will say, I'm busy. No, I hope your Bible says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. It's great to have conversation with somebody when you talk to them that they answer you back, isn't it? When you think of the natural, it's kind of hard to have a conversation with just you and somebody that just doesn't pay attention to you. Then you shall call the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Anybody out there been crying recently, going through some struggles and situations? We all do. We all have. If you're not crying and going through a rough situation today, maybe next week at this time, you'll be able to tell me a different story and say, boy, I had a rough week. One of the days I was really at my wit's end, and I was crying and struggling. But I remembered something about prayer, and I went to the Lord in prayer, and I just lifted it up to him. So it says here that, Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness. Oops. Oh, my goodness. Hold on. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall draw... dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Amen. Guidance and satisfaction. Look at just the strength that just reading that just wells up things in you, doesn't it? Number one, that the Lord will answer. When I cry, he's going to say, here I am. That the light shall dawn in the darkness. Your darkness shall be as the noonday. Darkness, another word of darkness, of gloom. Anybody had a gloomy day? Last Friday, I think, or was it? Thursday or Friday is kind of gloomy, just overcast, kind of rainy, kind of cool, you know, those type of things. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul, strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. He will be that fountain in you, amen. A living fountain that just continually wells up and pours out of you. And that's what you need in a dry and barren place, amen. Wherever you might be in your prayer life, in your Christian walk, in your life and walk, in your job, in your home and relations, whatever the case might be, if you're going through a dry time in any one of those situations, allow the Lord to come in. Pray to God and lift these things up. Now, we're talking about, oh, well, you're praying for yourself. It's okay to pray for yourself and the things that you have. That's okay. But just don't let it always be the deciding factor day in and day out that you just keep your own self in prayer. Pray for others around you. Pray for family. Pray for friends. Pray for your church. Pray for the schools, you know. Let that prayer ripple out as you begin to pray. And if you really do this, and we got to wrap this up, if you do this to the point of just allowing your prayer life to expand, and the way it's going to expand is when you get one-on-one with God, God will bring to your thoughts something to pray about. Has he done that to you? Have you been in prayer and all of a sudden something comes to you that just came out of the blue? It's like, okay, Lord, I'll pray about that. That's when your spirit is churning and his spirit is starting to drop things in on you because he's found somebody that's praying, that somebody that's got the time, that took their time from Facebook and put it to heaven book, you know, looking to heaven and praying to God, that he begins to see and says, oh, there's someone that I can drop this into and they're going to take it and pray about it. Amen. Wow. That's what I want God to do for me. I want him to see Tim down here, and he can just all of a sudden say, he's involved in prayer. I hear him. Oh, I'm going to answer his prayer, and I'm going to put this concern on him. I'm going to let him hear about this, and let's see if he'll lift this up, and let him pray about this, and let it return back up to me. And, you know, as we get weak and we get worn out and all of a sudden he'll just water us again and bring that living water that like a spring just keeps flowing into you. Isn't it wonderful when you're out in the woods and you hear a bubbling brook? And that's you're at the point of where it actually comes and it's coming up out of the ground. And it's like, wow, where's this coming from? And it just keeps bubbling. And it's filling up the little area there, and it's going down the channel of a creek or something like that, and it just keeps flowing more and more. And all that stuff starts at a bubbling spring somewhere. Amen. Remember some time back I had shared about the Mississippi, and I don't know how God got us in that, great in things, small things. Oh, small things are great when God's in them. Because you go up to Minnesota where the Mississippi starts, it just starts in a lake somewhere up there that's fed by springs and all that. And all of a sudden it comes to be the Mississippi. Wow. Awesome. And let our prayer life be like that. Let us begin to pray, even if it's, now this calls for like 5 minutes. My goodness, if you can pray for 2 minutes. If you haven't prayed very much, if you can pray a minute, that's good. Amen. Let it grow from that. Thank you, Father. So we want to continue in, and I want to share some more things in the areas of prayer. We want to look at where prayer, my goodness, prayer, fullness of joy, reward, wisdom and understanding, a peace that it'll give, freedom from anxiety, there's that word. Praying with wisdom and understanding. By prayer, you will get wisdom and understanding in your situation. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that it's as simple as doing what? Doing something that the Father's asked us to do, pray. My goodness. And pray without ceasing. Rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God the Father, or this is for the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Prayer is an ongoing daily activity for all of us, it should be. It's not just at mealtime, it's drive time, it's sitting at home, it's sitting outside, it's cutting the grass, it's doing whatever you're doing, that you just start praying about stuff. Let that be a wonderful time, and as you are there, you just begin to see and receive so much more from God. Amen. And he will do so many things for you because he's listening. He's wanting a people that pray. And pray from the heart. Pray because you want to pray, not because I've got to check this off because we're on a 31-day prayer. Oh, there's 4 days. I can't wait until it's done. No, just pray without ceasing. Pray and let him see that. Thank you, Father. I want to just keep different ones in prayer, you know, of our body. I know Blanche is here on the phone. She